things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week one edition of Bleeding Green and Gold, and it's episode one, season six or seven, we'll figure it out. And we are the father and son podcast. We've been doing this. It's a labor of love that we've been doing. Unfortunately, our advertisers didn't return from last year. Of course, we didn't have any advertisers, but
I mean, advertising's down right now with COVID anyways. So yeah, not in the same booth this year. I would assume for all season. We are doing this remotely. You are in the sound booth. I am in a closet. Quietest place in the apartment.
Is that you're in your walk-in closet?
Yes. In the one we use for storage.
A lot of voiceover people. That's how they make their. That's how it works, because those clothes really help out, don't they?
Yeah, but we don't have any clothes in here, actually. this is where the camping stuff, the boxes are. The other closet has the clothes.
Okay, we'll forget what I said.
Maybe next week I'll know to go to that closet. I didn't know these tips and tricks of the voiceover world.
Well, it is a good one because it does dampen. Mm-hmm. It's just like you say.
So weird season. Weird year to have a season, even.
Way to start out. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that because of your mom's daycare. I needed something that was going to be able to block out a lot more noise. But anyway, man, are you surprised we're doing an episode? Did you think that the season was going to begin?
Once all the other sports were up and going again, I figured the season would happen. But before that, I thought, with everything that's going on, it would just be insane to have a football season, because it's not like baseball where you're basically socially distanced. Not like basketball where you have like minimal people on the court at the same time and they keep all their players in a bubble. You can't do that with 52 plus players on every team.
Right.
I know you can bet in Vegas right now on the over under on if the NFL will make it past week six.
Oh,
before
really?
It gets shut down.
Yeah. Know what it is?
I don't know what it is. I just know that that's the betting. You can do one for week three and one for week six.
Well, it'd be interesting because you know it's going to happen. There are going to be players. I think some of these teams that have, they're keeping a third quarterback and just like keeping them away, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't have Jordan Love in Wisconsin even. So are teams carrying extra players allowed to? Because I know they're kind of carrying the practice squad into the first couple of weeks while they figure out their roster, but is there any expansion to the rosters to help with COVID?
There was a couple they could do. They could do an extra couple.
Okay.
And they changed the whole like non-injury designation for COVID.
The IR stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not.
I don't know all the factors.
Yeah, I didn't follow the league too closely leading into the season here. There's too much going on.
Too much real life going on.
Exactly. So let's ignore that and jump into the game here.
All right, man.
So the Green Bay Packers, week one, go to Minnesota. Big win, 43-34. That doesn't really tell the story of it because it was a blowout. They got some points at the end, but they were never closer than a two-score game. after the half. What did you think, overall impressions?
Well, I'd like to back up a little bit. Let's talk about we'll talk about our feelings going into the game, going into the first game of the year. What were you thinking?
Well, I had just been helping at a retreat over the weekend where I'd been constantly told how bad the Vikings suck and that the Packers suck and the Vikings were going to kill them and Rodgers is washed up. We don't have any receivers and like all this. And so it felt good, but I was actually pretty confident going into the game. I wasn't sure how they would be affected playing without the preseason. I know Belichick has always said the preseason is pointless and they'd be better without it. But I wasn't sure how they look, but I figured every team's dealing with the same thing. So, that's not like a disadvantage for us. And I've been very, ever since last season, excited to see how they look in the second year under Matt LaFleur and getting that offense really, in a rhythm and kind of getting some experience with it under their belts. So I was pretty optimistic going into this. I didn't realize how much it would change the game to not have a crowd, though.
Boy, that was weird. And I really struggled. I don't know if our listener knows this, but I wear hearing aids. And sometimes what happens when you wear hearing aids is they try to adjust to accommodate for any background noise. Mm-hmm. And with that frickin' crowd noise, I was getting maybe 50% on what the announcers were saying. And
even though it's so much quieter than normal crowd noise.
Yep. Yep. And so I kept trying to
adjust. Your levels were off.
My levels were off big time. And so, and then I tried reading, the closed captioning, but that's always like 20 seconds behind when mm-hmm. it's a live event. So that was, but personally I was going in, excuse me. I didn't really have high expectations, not on win and loss, but just on the quality of football. And when I saw the Thursday night game with Kansas City and Texans, I was like, dang it, they look pretty
sharp.
They
look good, especially, the Kansas City Chiefs.
So then I was like, maybe this is going to really make that point that we don't need preseason.
It seems like it's better. I think it helps that they can focus on week one, getting ready for their opponent, and not focus on getting through the preseason. And then you don't have mm-hmm. all your guys that you were hoping to, because some guys always get hurt in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what we're going to see is it's just going to be evolving throughout the year as certain players have to sit out for 2 weeks mm-hmm. or we're not going to have the depth that we normally would because we couldn't play some of the young guys or some of the guys that were on the bubble.
But we're not exactly, or at least haven't been in a handful of years here, a team known for depth. maybe a little bit more last year, but we're always one of those injury plagued teams that kind of limp into the playoffs.
I'll give you usual. I won't give you always. But did you hear? I just happened to see something. I'm looking through the PDF you shared with me. I saw something. One of the things I wanted to pull up. I cannot get my computer to work right here. Since Sean's not in here with me, talking about the difference, and of course it's just 1 week, but the kicking with no fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
That outdoor stadiums, there's significantly worse kicking field goals in outdoor stadiums than they were indoor stadiums. And it kind of makes sense. You don't have fans and weather conditions are going to increase because you don't have that buffer mm-hmm. for the fans.
I saw absorbing. That they were saying the wind swirls differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it was 20% less that they're close to 90 in the stadiums, indoor stadiums. And then it mm-hmm. was like in the 60s, I think, that's pretty crazy. That could really make a big difference down the road.
It's probably a lot like, recording in a walk-in closet with clothes versus not. I bet all those people kind of are the buffers.
Touché.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you would have thought the kickers were practicing at the empty stadium, before the season, but maybe not. Maybe they're only practicing at like indoor practice areas or something like that, or practicing outside but not in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But Packers and Vikings were the only game to not have a missed kick in the whole in the whole week one. There's a couple bad ones too, where I'm trying to remember the game I was watching, but they had a crazy comeback to tie it, and then they missed an easy field goal pretty badly.
Well, I know our next opponent, the Lions, I think that they had a go-ahead touchdown at the end of the game. They got dropped.
They did. Yeah, and it was a bad drop. He had it in his hands, and he was, like, turning just, like, I don't even know. He didn't have to run. He had it in his hands in the end zone, and as he kind of turned to get his feet, he dropped the ball. That was a crazy game. They really let the Bears back into that one, because I watched the highlights on it, and it wasn't until like end of the third quarter that the Bears had anything. I know one of the announcers said three quarters into the game that watching the Bears offense was like watching someone score by pulling their teeth out. He's like, they find ways to get a first down in the most painful way possible. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of, you know, how the Bears are this year, because I know so many fans were really questioning the call to start Trubisky over Nick Foles that they traded for.
Boy, it's a franchise that just keeps scrambling, though, and they're still not sure on their kicker. I mean, how many years do you need to figure this out here? Come on. And then with this, you know, they, of course, have an outdoor stadium, and so then they got to worry about that. And how much credence do you give in to a missed field goal because of less fans? Because I think as the season goes on, they're going to allow more, and they probably have to adjust it back and forth. But
we'll see. So Kansas City had some people. Sorry, go ahead.
What's that?
I said Kansas City had some people on the stands, and they were just notified fans today that they have to be quarantined because there was someone that tested positive at the game.
Right. I think it was 10 people so far that have been told that they have to.
Weird
so,
that would happen.
Yeah. Outdoors. So you would think that. I like watching these.
Well, the guy that tested positive was in a box. They still have people in the fancy boxes.
Really?
Yeah.
You look at people wearing their masks, and it's like, it's you go from it's around their neck, it's on their chin, it's over their mouth, and very few people have it over their mouth and their nose.
Well, you feel bad for the players that are wearing them, because it's obvious they're trying not to catch it. You know, maybe they're worried about losing the income for their family or something, but no one around them is keeping them safe.
I like
Andy Reid has his face mask.
Yeah, fogging up. And there's a product that he can put in there that will keep it from fogging up. But I was saying, I saw a meme that said, after watching how people wear masks, I now understand how some people struggle with birth control.
Amina and I always joke that it's like someone has their, you know, hanging out when their nose is hanging out.
Wow.
And so we'll kind of nudge each other and go, hey, you know, they have it hanging out and stuff. And I told her the other week when I got back from my eye exam that the eye doctor asked me to whip my, you know, out. And she goes, excuse me? And she
rip your what up?
You know, she asked me to whip my, you know.
Oh.
And she got all worked up about it until she realized they just asked me to pull my mask down because it was fogging the lens.
All right, let's go. We
should talk about this game.
The beginning of the game looked like we were going to run all over, but we got to the red zone and not so much.
Yeah, first three red zone drives became away with 3 points. So not great, but and it was 8-7 for a while. And it just seemed like it was going to be that typical Packers Vikings game where it's just so much crap on both sides where they should be playing a lot better. It's weird that things that happen to kill drives or, you know, turn the ball over. But at the end of the second quarter there, like right before the half, getting that big touchdown, then getting the interception, and then with like less than a minute left, driving down and then the deep pass to MVS to get another touchdown. All of a sudden, you know, just like that, it's 22-10. And it should have been 22-7. It was silly the way they let up that little field goal at the end of the half for the Vikings. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, and I'm still not positive that touchdown to Adams in the end zone wasn't a touchdown. But the ref is standing right there, and they don't call it a touchdown.
Which one?
I believe it was Adams. Rodgers was scrambling. It was pretty early in the game. He was scrambling, and then he threw it to Adams. It was just standing right at the line in the end zone, right on the side.
Well, that was a touchdown. They ruled that a touchdown.
I thought they called it back.
Nope, that was one of his touchdowns.
Okay.
Yep. Or at least they showed the highlight of it.
Well, I know they showed the highlight of it, but I believe
I'm pretty sure they ruled it, and they reviewed it. And there was no Pereira came on, you know how they like to call on Pereira. And he said that he believed it was a touchdown, like they called it. But even if it wasn't, he doesn't think there would have been conclusive proof to overturn it, because they don't have as many cameras on the field now. You don't have like all the same angles for challenges. You can't see like right by their feet this season. Mm. It's going to be a little different.
It's going to be more like watching a Big Ten game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the last couple of years, they got kind of crazy with how much you could see on the reviews and how detailed. So it'd be interesting to take a step back from that.
But do they still have the pylon cam, Sean?
God, I hope not. I mean, I hope so. I would miss it if it wasn't there. Oh, want the best view possible. Give me this fisheye lens from around their ankle. Ah, yeah, there it was. There they went. Oh, they fell onto the camera? Oh, glad you showed me that three times.
But you're okay with it.
Yeah, I like them. Best thing they ever added since the yellow line.
I do like the yellow line.
I know that part is
good. I liked when they first got it, it wasn't perfected in any way. And so they would have the yellow line, and if somebody walked across the yellow line,
yeah, it would be like, on top of them.
Right.
Or so many people misunderstood the yellow line at first, thinking it was actually on the field. Kind of like in baseball, people at first didn't like, or at least some people didn't like the strike box being on the screen in front of the player. Now everyone's just used to it. But Aaron Rodgers pretty much came in and shut up everyone who had been talking over the offseason about him.
And that doesn't surprise me at least.
No. You know, what I found really interesting was how the announcers were talking so much that Aaron had talked about he spent the offseason working on his balance and training his core to keep him balanced and stuff, even when he's like throwing off his back foot or throwing sideways. Mm-hmm. And I thought that kind of goes to what we've been saying the last two seasons on the podcast here, that he's still Aaron Rodgers. But when he gets away from the fundamentals, he's missing just a little. Mm-hmm. And like the consistency is not there where he used to be able to both feet off the ground or off his back foot, and it would just be a dart. And we just kept saying maybe he's losing the strength to lose his fundamentals. Like he can't play off his back foot like that. And it seems like
I still feel that way. I still feel that he passed that point, and when he matured, he doesn't have the same body that he had when he was in his 20s. Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like his theory on it was, instead of, okay, I need to learn how to like work more within the fundamentals, kind of like how Peyton Manning later in his career, he just didn't have, I mean, he was never at like the speediest guy, but he adjusted his game as his age went on. It feels like Rodgers said, no, I'm going to work more towards being able to once again do the off the feet pass, the, you know, back foot pass, and like work on my balance so I can do it again, not give up on it. But he wasn't missing this game.
No. The only thing that hurt him was the drops.
Yeah.
That Scantling.
Marquez Valdez Scantling had two big drops. I feel like we're going to be on a roller coaster all season with him. You know, he's a big play guy, doesn't seem to have the most consistent hands. We're going to you know, be pulling our hair out at points with him dropping big passes. And then other times he's going to get that huge touchdown. So I think he'll be that kind of guy for us this season. Hopefully he starts catching them more. But of course, it's week one, so it's just time for us to overreact right now.
Of course. Of course. You know, and it's always tough week one. Of course, you do have a little bit of information. You know, Green Bay, it's always really, really tight-lipped. And then they even brought it even tighter because they didn't want, since they weren't going to be playing any preseason games, they wanted to keep people guessing on who was going to be starting and whatever. But boy, without the preseason and all that stuff, it was really hard to know which way we're going to go. What do we have to work with? In, you know, for the last 6 months, all you kept hearing about was that it was a fluke. The Packers made it to 13-3. If you
worst 13-3 team ever.
What?
That's what everyone used to say about the Packers. They were the worst 13-3 team ever last season.
Ever. But if you really want to know what it feels like to feel bad after a loss. I mean, that 49ers game, your mom and I were on a cruise and we're sitting in this auditorium on the cruise ship, and they had set up a spread of food, and then they had this huge screen TV. Only ones on the ship that I could see that were wearing anybody's jersey. And then as soon as that game started, it was like, oh boy. This is not going good. So I've been waiting for this season to turn so we can move on and move forward. And it was just really nice to see them coming out and playing as good as they did. And yeah, there's always going to be frustrations that not every play ends up in a touchdown or, you know, but
I think
to go into Minnesota, it was nice to not have their fans.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that there was so much talk around, how difficult it is to go into Minnesota, and that, you know, Rodgers won't be able to do anything against the defense, but no one really gave much thought to the fact that that home field advantage isn't there anymore. All you did is put Rodgers in a bubble where he doesn't have to worry about weather. He doesn't have to worry about crowd noise. He described, so 75 decibels is the limit the NFL stadiums are allowed to pump in. Rodgers described it as a rowdy dinner party.
That's funny, but I think it was Zimmer, and I don't blame him. I think the Vikings coach said that it's kind of, if you don't tune it out, because they were practicing with it to get ready, smart. He said it's kind of discerning because it's like in a normal game situation, it's like, of course, the volume just explodes and then you'll have these quiet periods and back and forth. He said now it's just like this constant. He used it. What was it, that world soccer match where they,
the, I think, Vuvuzuelas
with the horns?
The Vuvuzuelas.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The Vuvuzuelas.
You didn't even try to say it. Yeah, it's interesting. They don't change the pitch of it. So, like, when you watch the baseball games right now, you know, something happens, the crowd cheers and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't think they have a way of really doing it right now, because I know baseball, they use audio from the video game, the show, baseball video game. And so they kind of tune it that way. Whereas, I mean, if the NFL is using Madden crowd noise, it doesn't go up and down like it would in a baseball game. So that's probably why it doesn't.
I am positive that they can figure it out. A multi-billion dollar company.
No. I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying they won't.
What they could do is, like in the old days in radio, when we would have what's called a hot box, and then you would program sound effects onto different programs on this box, literally like a keyboard, and then you could just go boom, you hit it and it would make the noise. But we should probably get back to the game.
No, that's all right. It definitely helped Rodgers. Yeah, 25. We're 25. This is our podcast. No one's telling us to keep it moving.
I didn't know how long you wanted to sit in your empty walk-in closet with boxes.
Yeah, I should have really turned the light on, but the switch is on the outside. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sitting in the dark. The lady was upset that I didn't allow her in the closet with me, but especially in this tiny closet, you would just hear.
Right. So. That would be Sean's Bernese Mountain Dog, not some, you could take that.
Yeah, yeah, not just some lady, a very specific lady.
She's a beautiful, beautiful dog.
So right, it definitely so helped Rogers.
So we get through the first quarter.
Hey, it was I'm talking here. Hey, I'm talking. So it definitely helped Rogers to have the empty stadium with the noise, because normally he would not be able to use the hard count, especially this effectively in Minnesota. That would just be part of his game that is now taken away. But man, I think there was five times he hurt them on it this game.
Yep.
And surprisingly, so like we talked about being prepared without the preseason, our offense looked really good with that hard count not jumping.
It sure did.
You know, knock on wood. But
I'm trying to see here, looking up penalties. Scores, touchdowns, extra points. God, this is another case where it really helps to have you in the booth. Do you have yours up, your PDF?
Yeah, you want me to look here?
Yeah, do you look and see if you could find? I'm just curious on the number of penalties.
Okay. So each team got three penalty or first downs by penalty. Let me see.
I see. Okay.
Six penalties for the Packers for 63 yards, five for the Vikings for 20 yards.
That's interesting. I've got three for 43 for the Packers and four for 15 yards for Minnesota.
Are you sure you're not looking at one half stats instead of
both halves? Number and yards. That could be.
Because, yeah, I think you're looking at first half.
Okay.
I think you would see, so that favors the Vikings, the total game penalties, but I think it would favor the Packers if they didn't decline them because they just got more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't show declined penalties on there. Devontae Adams, even just picking up where he left off, but just taking over the game.
My gosh.
I know that. He said over the offseason, I thought it was surprising because we know he had health issues last season. He had the toe problem. He said he never got above 80% last season. It's like,
really? I forgot about that.
Yeah. So if you think about what he did last season, injured all year, and he says he's coming in healthier than he's ever been, I mean, they couldn't guard him. Rodgers had that back foot out route to him whenever he wanted it, and Adams had like two steps on the defender. And I mean,
that pass play. I'm trying to think, what was that? Was that in the fourth quarter? There they did that little fade to the side. It was just right at the end zone. They scored a touchdown. He did a slight move. He was lined up and did a slight move to the right and then cut to the left of the ball was there. And it was just like, how are you going to defend that?
Well, especially because the Vikings were coming into it with new young cornerbacks. It's like, talk about getting like thrown in the fire, like thrown in the deep end, where you get not just are you young cornerbacks going up against Aaron Rodgers, one of the best of all time, but you're going up against him in a quiet stadium where he can really mess with you. And then you have to guard Devontae Adams, who's one of the best guys off the line, who can completely hear what Rodgers is doing and not have to watch the ball. It was just like, you know, worst case scenario if you're a young cornerback. But Adams looked great.
They did. And those just on those cornerbacks, though, the defense has they've had some major shakeups on the Viking defense because of the salary cap. So it'd be interesting to see.
They did. And I'm trying to remember his name. They have one of their big time pass rushers that opted out for COVID.
Right.
So that'll hurt as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling ended up with 96 yards on his four receptions. Of course, he had the two big drops that one of them off that deep ball. It's like, oh my God, how do you not catch that?
That was hard. That was hard to take.
But it was also like that touchdown at the end of the first half he caught. if I remember right, it was probably about 30, 35 yards. It looked like Rodgers underthrew him, and he still came down with the contested touchdown. So,
and the defender was there.
Yeah, it's always the difficult ones that you grab. There was a Allen Lazard touchdown. So Lazard got the long ball and then got tackled, I think, like 2 yards short of the end zone. And he was kind of kicking himself for that. And then the very next play, they ran play action, roll out to the right, and it was Lazard in the end zone for Rodgers. The defender was completely on top of Lazard the whole time, even in front of him, between him and Rodgers. And Rodgers just like waited a bit and then threw it anyways. And just right between the defender's hands, Lazard grabbed it, touchdown, and it's like, who throws that ball? And who throws that ball confidently?
That's exactly what I said. But, it's like, and you know what? And I love the guy. I spent $400 to get my wife an authentic photograph jersey signing for Brett Favre. But man, I just don't.
That would have been a pick six
when he's throwing Favre. Like I did for Favre. It's just like, it doesn't, especially when Brett would roll to the right. I'm like, don't just throw it away. Just throw it away. And he'd throw an interception. So,
but Rodgers has never been the same. Like, he's always carved people up, but he always has done it when he's at his best, more surgically, where Favre was a gunslinger. Like, you know, he's coming out, two pistols from the hip, shooting whatever and whoever gets in front of him.
Well, I think too with Favre, it's like he came in at a really good time in the league, and the defenders are like, "There's no way he's going to throw this ball," and he did. So
yeah, it he was also at the point in the league where they really started ramping the rules up to be favorable to offensive passing.
Hey, I want to go back to. When Cousins got sacked in the end zone by Alexander.
I was going to bring that up, that safety.
Great game.
He did.
I think the first time in the third player in almost 20 years to get a sack, a interception, and a safety.
Wow.
I believe that.
And that was a nice safety. That was huge to get stuffed at the line. And, I mean, that's such a risky play. First of all, extremely risky if you're the Vikings to call play action in your own end zone, because you just doubled the amount of time it's going to take to get that pass out at minimum. I've played a lot of Madden. I never call play action if I'm backed up in the end zone.
You could be a head coach in the NFL.
But so I was surprised to see that. But to call that play, and the cornerback blitz was just beautiful timing, but it was also risky because if they don't call play action, you are leaving that receiver wide open to go 99 yards. Yep. But yeah, it was a huge turning point because you get the 2 points and you get the ball punted back to you. It's always just a killer to get the safeties.
Oh man. And just emotionally too. You could just hear it in the fans. Nobody was cheering. Everybody was really quiet in the stands. And so it's just,
I thought Aaron Jones looked really good this game. He had some really nice runs.
He did have a fumble though, didn't he?
I think he did. Yeah. But they recovered it. Jamal Williams had a handful of runs. Didn't do too much with them. He averaged 3 yards. I was surprised the first time. So definitely came out with, you know, the spread West Coast type looking offense, but also speed to the ball, the little tap pass on the running plays, things like that. Very Sean McVay with the Rams, or kind of Andy Reid in the running game in a lot of ways with the zone. But I was surprised the first time we saw Tyler Irvin, the wide receiver, get a sweep handoff. And then I think he went for like 8 yards with it. I was like, oh, that wasn't too bad. That actually worked out pretty good. Then he got another, and he got like a 14-yard first down. And I was like, oh, jeez. And then so 3 times they handed the ball to Irvin, the wide receiver, and he averaged 12.7 yards a carry. I'm guessing we're going to see that more. He did have a nice return. That's right. I forgot about that. So I'm guessing we're going to see more of him in the running game.
That would be wonderful. Just keep mixing it up. And the more you do, the more you protect your quarterback and save bodies and stuff. Yeah. So
Dalvin Cook on the Vikings side of that, he had he ended up with two touchdowns. He had the first drive where they kind of ran down our throats and then he went into the end zone. And you're like, it's going to be a whole nother game of trying to stop the running game and stop Cook. But after that, you know, they did shut him down pretty well. And part of it is falling behind. You can't stick with the run as much. But
well, when Clark got hurt, that just opened up the running game for him. He's such a presence in the middle on the defensive line like that. But hopefully, I saw something today that said that he slipped. Well, it looked like it could have been so much worse when you saw the replay. But it's a groin issue, so he's not sure today. They were supposed to get kind of a better idea where he's at, but that's a big loss.
That is, yeah. Hopefully, it won't be too long. Lane Taylor's out for the season. After working really hard to be back for this season, because the last two seasons he's had season-ending injuries. Like, you got to feel for the guy. I mean, 3 years in a row, no matter how talented you are, there's a good chance your career's over. So hopefully not. Hopefully, whether it's us or someone else, he has more NFL time. But that's tough. First game of the year, you're out for the season.
Right. Literal first game. He had no preseason. He had nothing. It's the whole preseason practice was different from normal. So
speaking of getting playing time in the NFL, Chris Kirksey on our defense, Christian Kirksey. They cut off the end of his first name on here. Christian Kirksey. He gets told on Saturday he's playing. On Sunday, he comes in, gets six tackles, two tackles for a loss, and he blew up that huge screen to make it third and long at a critical point where he got around two defenders and got the ankle tackle.
That was beautiful.
I think he just earned himself a spot on the team, I would assume.
Well, at least for now, they'll give him a shot. But seen it before where a guy is more of a game player, not a practice guy. Once he gets in there, he just changes up, and you know, hopefully
Chris Barnes is who I'm talking about, not Christian Kirksey. Kirksey's our other guy. He got six tackles, but Barnes is the guy that got called up on Saturday, got the two tackles for a loss and that huge screen tackle. It was nice to have our secondary back. Did second half of last season, it didn't feel like we ever had our full secondary in the game. Every time we had our corners back, it felt like Kevin King got injured in the next game. I was pretty happy with how they played. Obviously, at the end of the game, you know, we're just trying to keep them in front of us, and we always kind of play that. At least Pettine always seems to play that soft, prevent D if he can.
That's the Don Capers, version of defense.
Speaking of old coaches, did you see the Cowboys game at all? With McCarthy as the new head coach?
I did not.
It is still Mike McCarthy, game management. Oh, my God. I would – watching his red zone decisions, watching his inability to stick with what's working, watching him try to call plays that were popular in the 90s but have been figured out since then, I'm like – I am so glad we moved on. Like, I'm glad he got us the Super Bowl. I liked McCarthy for a long time, but man, he has gotten passed by in a lot of ways.
I thought he wasn't going to be calling plays this year. I thought I read something that said he was going to let the offensive coordinator make the plays.
I'm not sure, but at least the game management and the red zone stuff, because even when he wasn't calling plays in Minnesota, he gave that up for a while. He still, you know, helped in the red zone. Which should not have been the case because it's not his forte.
But did they win?
No, they lost. I think
they pulled it out at the end, didn't they?
Did they? I don't think so. I can
switch this over. Yeah,
check it. You check that.
We got. You keep Chattanooga there.
Speaking of defense, Eric Kendricks for the Vikings is a monster. 11 combined tackles, 7 solo. And it's like, we would have had a few more big plays that got blown up by him. We couldn't really run a screen because Kendricks would sniff it out every time. It's just, you know, I know they have a lot of different guys on their defense than they did, but he is still that, you know, that rock in their defense for them.
Yeah, he is good. They, Dallas lost 17-20 to the Rams.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And I did see that they got away from the run pretty early, even though Ezekiel Elliott was like getting 6 yards a carry. Fans were pretty upset about that. I was like, no, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember this guy that had a certain running back for Green Bay that didn't let him touch the ball much, and then as soon as he was gone, he just took off? Yeah. That's your guy. That's your new head coach.
That's your guy. Jenkins, Elgton Jenkins at guard, especially with Lane Taylor going down for the season, it is huge for us how good he looked. He looked good last season. We didn't see him a ton, but he always looked good. But he looked great in this game because he shifted over, right, after the Lane Taylor injury.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor was there most of the game still. He played 81% of snaps. But, yeah, Jenkins just – he's going to help a lot to have in the line if he stays healthy. Let's see. How long – so
total yards, even with all the extra points the Vikings put up at the end because they were playing soft, but mm-hmm. Green Bay had 522 and Minnesota had 382. Mm-hmm. And this is from a team that really relishes solid defense. Mm-hmm. So even if they are changing out players, they're still on an upper level, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah, they – lost what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Punting. We had one punt for 40 yards, an average of 40 yards.
Yeah, one punt for 40.
Not bad. Coming into week one against the Vikings at home and only punting once.
I just kind of jazzed up here on what we get to go home and play in front of our home. No, play at home, not in front of our home crowd.
Playing against the Kitties.
Yeah, Motor City Kitties.
Do you think the Packers are going to have people in the stands?
Of this year?
Yeah.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, they are outdoor.
It's kind of flux. It's kind of like you got Kansas City. If they all of a sudden you got a bigger breakout from, you know, a team, they're going to have to pull back. They can't mm-hmm. have as many or no fans and then do overs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I want your biggest Packer related post week one overreaction.
Post week one. So after the game.
Yeah. So now that you've seen the first game, there's no preseason. You saw what happened. What's your biggest overreaction?
Aaron Rodgers is back. He's playing like he's in his 20s.
Oh, horrible. That's not an overreaction at all.
Oh, it is an overreaction. He's not in his 20s.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think despite him getting older, I'm excited to see what he's going to do all year long with no crowd noise.
Mm-hmm.
Even at home games, you know, he would try to quiet the crowd at points and stuff, and the noise is still there. But to have right. that at away games, I think he is just going to have a heck of a year.
Now, I got a question for you before we go too much further.
Okay.
Do you have a pad and paper with you, or pen and paper?
I have a laptop.
Okay, so because we got to do picks.
We do have to do picks. I got all mine right week one. How about you?
Oh, dang it. All right. So did we cover enough, do you think, on the game? I thought it's always a little
like
tough.
Like I said, it's our podcast, man.
24 points in the fourth quarter by the Vikings. That seems a little excessive to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard or I've seen people talk about that after the game, saying like, well, you know, the Packers aren't all that. They give up, you know, they still gave up 34 points and stuff. It's like, you got to look at every case individually. And that was a blowout. So, at least in my opinion.
Okay, and then what about the fact that we couldn't stop them for 2-point plays?
Oh, who cares? They can have 2 points. I think part of that is we were just getting beat at the line later in the game. Their offensive line was kind of whole fourth quarter had the push on us. That makes it pretty hard to stop 2-point conversions. They had a couple of really nice pass plays. They had that floater down the right side of the field that got them the touchdown in the fourth. I think it got them it was a pretty quick drive for them. But yeah, I think if it was a closer game, we wouldn't have let that up. I think we would have played completely different defense.
What do you think of Kirk Cousins? He's definitely should know the system, be ready to go. He's got players.
He's always kind of come across to me as a diet Tom Brady. He's not the crazy athletic guy. I know he had 2 decent runs this game, but that's not typical of him. He's not crazy athletic. He's not the best arm, but he has a good arm. He's a game manager. He's going to keep the team in most games, but, you know, I think he's Tom Brady light.
Speaking of which, didn't live up to the hype of going to Tampa playing against New Orleans. And it's like, I think that's pretty much what I figured, honestly. I mean, he's still learning the system. It's totally different from what he's played in for 20 years.
I mean, he's still learning the system. It's his first time with a different coach. And the Buccaneers, you know, it still comes down to the rest of the offense and your play calling. So it's not like it's just Tom Brady, but I mean, they do have some weapons there. It's Chris Goodson, or Godwin, I think it is. And then Mike Evans are 2 of the best receivers in the league. So it's week 1. We'll see.
Speaking of receivers, Adam Thielen had a screaming good game for the Vikings. So.
Yeah, he's the guy that caught that floater down the right side I was mentioning. He had a really good game.
Couple of touchdowns, 110 yards.
I played against him in fantasy. I'm doing fantasy football this year. First time in 4 years.
Oh, no. Anxiety. Here we go.
I got bullied into it by Justin. No.
You can call him out.
He guilted me into it. He said his family league needs another team or they wouldn't be able to keep it going.
Whom?
Justin.
Oh, you jerk, Justin.
So I'm in their family league now. But the thing is, I warned him, I will do this for you, but you will know later on it was a mistake because no one is going to win this league ever again besides me. My team name is the Reagan Ringers. We are 1-0. And we're marching towards the championship with Aaron Rodgers at the helm.
There you go, sweetheart. All right, do you want to do picks or you still want to talk about the game?
I'm down for some picks.
I really I don't know how anybody could want more for this. You go into the enemy territory and you win the game. It literally was a blowout. Feeling good. So
I'm feeling good too. It was exactly what I hoped, better than I expected, I would say.
That sounds like a good country song.
No, he's talking about his wife.
No, if it was a country song, I lost my money, my mule got lame, and I lost my money at a poker game. That's a country song.
That's a country song.
All right, so let's see. We've got four picks. I'm looking here.
So it's Vikings at Colts, our first one here.
Vikings at Colts.
And I'll take the notes for you so you don't have to. I'll keep a running sheet for the season since we're doing this remotely.
So you can hang it up on the wall in your walk-in closet with no clothes?
No. I'm a millennial. I'm doing this on a Word document.
Ah,
there's no paper.
And
I don't think there's a pen in this room.
Okay, Vikings at Colts. I'll take the Colts.
I'll take the Vikes.
Okay.
Interesting. Lions. Already differing.
Wait a minute. Let's skip that one. We'll do that one last. So then yeah. We got the Bears.
So we have Giants at Bears.
Yeah. I'll go Bears.
You going with the Bears? How did the Giants look in week one, by the way?
I'm probably not good.
I think I saw them a bit on the red zone, and it wasn't the best.
They lost to Pittsburgh 26-16.
Yeah, and I think if I saw right, they couldn't really get their Saquon Barkley going, their stud running back, and that seems to kind of involve their whole game plan. So
I think they've got a lot of missing parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're going with the Bears?
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a rough season for our friends the Bears.
Boy, I hope so. You got enough quarterbacks on that team, though.
They have throughout the years.
Our final is the Lions at the Packers.
At Lambeau Field. It's going to be a loud one.
The Frozen Tundra.
Frozen Tundra. There's no longer going to be girls in bikinis in the winter snow at Lambeau.
God, I'm going to miss that, too. And I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be able to do my usual winter getaway. And so I see a lot of people in bikinis.
That's
men,
true.
Some women, don't ask me why. But
thank God for the internet.
yeah, true. We could superimpose over.
There you go. So I got the Packers.
Yeah, I got to go with the Packers.
Especially, I mean, I know the Lions have made kind of a tradition in the Stafford years of blowing leads. But they did look good for, I'd say, the first half and a bit more on offense. Like they have some pop. There was a lot of plays the Bears couldn't get to Stafford, and then they'd have the crossing routes open down the field. But even those weren't as open as I would have expected with the amount of time Stafford had. And kind of the way the play developed, it didn't seem like their receivers were as open, and he was kind of fitting a lot of passes in there.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to see how their receivers do against our secondary.
And, you know, I of course, he plays for our enemy, but Stafford's not a bad quarterback at all.
Oh, no, not at all. He's been solid for them a long time now.
I'm trying to look and see another game. Not that we have to keep score on it, but just to see. Yeah, that Ravens-Texans game might be a good one. Texans are 0-1, Ravens 1-0.
Oh, you're looking at week 2 here?
And you know what? The other one.
Ravens look good.
Patriots at the Seahawks, both 1-0.
Interesting to see Cam Newton on the Patriots.
Oh, I think he's going to kill it.
Yeah, I think Belichick's better than anyone at game planning and using what he has to the best of what he can. And I don't think anyone's ready for the whole different type of offense that Belichick is going to oversee with Cam Newton at the helm.
Which should be kind of like just a nasty trick on the NFL. For 20 years, they've been trying to figure this guy out, and all of a sudden, he just goes, I'm going to go this way now.
I honestly think with the mobility that Cam Newton has, and not just that, his freakish like mobility and ability to break tackles. I think it's going to be a lot like when we watched, what would that have been, like 2011 or 12, watching the Miami Dolphins bring Wildcat plays into the league and just dominating. I think they went 13-3 or something because no one could stop them, though they weren't that good of a team. I think no one's going to figure this out till next year, whatever Belichick does with Cam Newton.
Very well said.
Seahawks, I got Russell Wilson. I know this is blasphemy, but I got Russell Wilson as my MVP pick.
I think that's a great pick.
He's
a special player.
Yeah, I mean, he's had the stats to win it for the last 5 years, and he still hasn't. I think he should have won it last year, and it went to Breeze. So, I don't know, he's just so good.
He's up in the upper Northwest. I think if he was playing on L.A. or New York or Chicago, I think he would be, or Miami, I think he'd get a lot more. But
maybe he'll, you know, maybe he won't make it with the air quality up in that area. He just, you know, he won't have the lungs for it. No one on the team will.
Apparently, it is supposed to clear up, but
is it?
You know, it's the weather. So, you know, this is Thursday when we're recording, so it could very well change. But hey, if anybody is listening in that area, including areas that got hit with the latest hurricane that came in, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, just best of luck and thoughts.
Wish you all the best.
Yes. All right, brother, are we done?
I think we are good to wrap this up. Coming in at just under an hour. It's week one of the inaugural COVID season, COVID Packers podcast. I can't wait to see what we do in second season. You know, we're really just going to be revving our engines. Our second week. Second I didn't mean season. Second season. Second week. you know what?
You're living microwave time.
I think you can see what side I bet on in Vegas for this season to keep going. yeah, it's going to be just, we don't even have the storyline to follow of the Packers and of the NFL. We have, how will it be affected by COVID? It's going to be a weird season of Bleeding Green and Gold, everyone.
It sure is. Hey, if you get a chance, if you would please, go to Facebook, Spotify, wherever you get the podcast and give us a rating. And it's really important if you could just say anything. If you like it, just say, hey, I like it. If you don't like it, say you don't like it. But we just need the feedback. And then, of course, we also have the Facebook page that I don't think either one of us has been to for quite a while. So
no, I haven't been there all off season. So hopefully everyone's still there. But yeah, come like the page. We always post the new episodes up on there, and that's typically the best way to get a question on the show, just posting it on the wall, and then we'll bring it up on the next episode.
Okay, hopefully everything works out in the recording. Sean, thank you for sitting in an empty walk-in closet. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to go turn the lights on. It's creepy in here.
All right. Until next week, go.
Go, Pack. No, oh, it's definitely COVID season.
Let's try it one more time.
Hey, ready? I don't know. They didn't get a preseason, should we?
Until next week.
Go, Pack. Oh, man. I don't know if we can do this without being in the same booth. All right. Third time's a charm, you're right? I'm going to count it down.
Okay.
Until next time, go, Pack. Go. You didn't say anything.
No, I just wanted to see how you're going to do it.
Right, well, we'll be ready for week two. How about that?
All right. Toodles.
Toodles.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!